Yeah. So not this Monday, but a week. Okay. Take your Bibles and turn to one, two. Is that coming through? Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, okay. It's like my car. Tried it last night and the battery was dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. DSV. So much nicer than the Old King James. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed. The Old King James says we don't want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant has changed through the years. Ignorant today seems to mean stupid, where originally it meant you don't have this information. So they've updated the language. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. You may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, who are left until the coming of the Lord Jesus, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Old brother Pritchard, one of my prophets, used to say the dead in Christ have to rise first because they got six more feet to go than the others. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Last week, we had the honor and the privilege of hearing Alan and Mary share their testimony. And their flight's been delayed, but they're supposed to be leaving tomorrow, but it was nice to hear them last week. And this is the start of a 3 or 4 series on rapture. First I want to say is rapture found in the scripture? I've heard people say, I don't believe in the rapture because you can't find it in the Bible. If you take a Strong's Concordance or if you take a smartphone and you do a word search for the word rapture, you won't find it. And it's on that basis they say, you know, it's not valid. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 specifically talks about this. It says, then we who are alive and remain, who are left, you know, you're going to need to come up, Jordan, with your phone and the mic. Then we who are alive and left and caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll always be at the Lord. The word caught up. How many have seen, you know, these drawings where, you know, people go to heaven and they're playing a harp? Harpzano is the Greek word, caught up. And I've got Jordan to look up in the Blue Letter Bible. If you don't have that as a resource on your phone, I encourage you to get it. At 8:30 last night, I started preps for next week. And when I logged in, there were over 12,000 who were at that moment using the Blue Letter Bible. It's a great resource. So he's looked, taken verse 17, gone to Harpzano, and he's going to read to you. It occurs 13 times in the New Testament. He's going to read all 13, so you get a gist, the context of how that word is used. Okay, go ahead. Face the camera. Okay, the word there, violent, is that word harpzano. It is to catch up, seize, grip, you know. Okay, go ahead.
Matthew 12:29. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first ties up the strong man and then he will plunder his house?
Okay, tie him up. That's that same word, to seize, grip, control.
Comes and snatches away
Okay, now Mark 4 is the best way to understand that, where we got the four types of soil. And one's like a sidewalk, and before it can, it'll never take root on the sidewalk, the seed. Satan comes and seizes it, steals it away.
John 6:15. So Jesus, aware that they intended to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone.
Okay, taken by force. Okay, that's the word.
John 10:12 says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters the flock.
Okay, the wolf snatches them. That's that word, hobzano. Okay.
John 10:28, and I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand.
Same word.
John 10:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Acts 8:39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing.
Okay, so Philip was caught away, snatched away, by the Spirit. Okay, take him away by force. That's that Greek word.
2 Corinthians 12:2. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven.
Okay, caught up, snatched away.
4:17, then we who are alive who remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And then Jude 1:23, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and some having mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And then Revelation 12:5. And she giving birth to a son, a male, who is going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
Okay, thank you. That's all 13 occurrences of that Greek word.
I don't think it was on.
Hey?
The button was orange the entire time.
Then you hit the button again and went from on to standby. Okay. C.S. Lewis. So how did we, who speak English, get rapture from Harpzano? When the Italian Vulgate Bible was produced, and it was translated from Greek into Latin, they used the Latin word harpturo, which means I seize, I snatch, I carry away. The English word rapture is not a transliteration of the Greek, but a transliteration of the Latin. So when you're looking at a Strong's Concordance or doing a word search on your smartphone for rapture, you won't find it because the transliterations are done from Hebrew and from Greek, and it doesn't appear there. But it's from the Latin. Are you tracking with me? So that explains, you know. So I've had some people say, well, you know, I don't believe in the rapture because you can't find it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's just not using that word. If we were speaking Greek, it would eliminate a lot of the contention there. Did you get the sense of that word? It means to forcibly come in and seize, snatch, and carry away. I had a person in one congregation who came to me one time after we had sung a particular song, and they said, I can't stand that song. I'll fly away, oh glory. What does that mean? talking about the rapture. You know? We're going to fly away. Maybe next week, maybe not, I don't know. We're going to look at it. It talks about, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about in the twinkling of an eye. The concept there is smaller than an atom. When the rapture occurs, a believer can be standing in front of somebody and they won't even see it happen. That it's that fast, that person will just no longer be there. However fast you think the twinkling of an eye is, the concept in the original language is it's smaller than an atom. Just done. You know? Okay, rapture, is it demonstrated in the scripture? Okay, so I hope I've clarified, okay? You know, if you've, you know, in the past have tried to find the word rapture in your Strong's Concordance or, you know, in your word searches of the scripture, you don't find it. Now you know why. Because it's not from the Greek, it's from the Latin. Okay, and one of the first translations from the Greek to another language was the Latin Vulgate. Okay, so it's very, very old text. In Genesis 5:42, and then it's ratified in the New Testament in Hebrews 11:5, Enoch is translated. This is quoting from Hebrews. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him up. Now, before he was taken up, he was commended as having pleased God. When you go back to Genesis, you find that Enoch is one of the very first that is described as walking with God. He had a relationship with God. God's always with us. God's everywhere. But do I walk with him? That's the issue. Enoch did. Now, this is not a test. It's not a quiz. It's not a pass or fail. But was Enoch before or after Noah? Take a guess. You got two options. Before. Okay? So if he was before Noah, he was also before what? The flood. The flood was the judgment of God. Enoch, now remember, I've told you in the past, in the Hebrew, prophecy is not so much the words that are said, it's the pictures that are drawn. Hebrew words all presented a picture. So Hebrew prophecy was a pictorial form. So Enoch is pictured as being caught up by God before the judgment of God. Some people say, you know, well, will we be here for the great tribulation? Well, if God's treatment of those that walk with him is consistent with Enoch, we're going to be gone before the great tribulation. Amen? Okay? He was before the flood. So, you know, is it demonstrated in Scripture? Well, it certainly is with Enoch. Okay, go to 2 Kings 2:1 and verse 11, and it's in the bulletin. Elijah. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on the way from Gilgal. Okay, that's verse 1. He was taken. He was caught up. You know? Now, was this before the captivities or after the captivities? Well, it was before the captivities, before the judgment of God came upon both Israel and Judah. He was caught up, carried away, snatched by God. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 1 and 9. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Okay? After the resurrection, Jesus Christ is caught up. Now here's an exception to the general rule. Was this before the cross or after the cross? Before the resurrection or after the resurrection? Well, as you all know, Acts is after the resurrection. So what's the significance here? The judgment of God was laid upon Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid the full price. But he is, according to Romans, was it 1 and 4 or 5, it says he is proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection. If he hadn't been resurrected, one of the most critical portions of Scripture, in my estimation, is 1 Corinthians 15. If he has not risen from the dead, our hope is in vain. Okay? If Christ is not risen, you're still in your sin. And you cannot stand before God. But he was risen. So here he is. You know, some 40 days later, he's caught up into glory. No. But the judgment was laid upon him. Now there's a judgment for all those that don't receive Christ, and that's coming up, and that's in the book of Revelation. Then we have the account with Philip. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. But Philip found himself in another place. You know? Like, snap. I just baptized the eunuch, now I'm somewhere else. You know? I always thought it was humorous. He comes up beside the eunuch, and the eunuch's riding in a chariot, and he's jogging along beside the chariot. That's pretty fantastic, in my opinion. And he's jogging along. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I?" He said, "Somebody show me." So he steps up into the chariot with him. And after he baptizes him, boom, he's gone. Seized, caught up, carried away. Okay. Paul. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. That's not me saying that. That's Paul saying it by the Holy Spirit. God knows. And I know that this man was caught into paradise, whether in the body or the body, I do not know. Okay? You can interpret that however you want, but here's the reality. If it was just his soul, I don't care. If it was his body, I don't care. He was caught up, seized, and brought up into the presence of God. And I question a lot of the books that come out. You know, I was in heaven, and I saw this, that, and the other thing. The Holy Spirit said this person was caught up, and I believe it was Paul, and he saw things that were not lawful to talk about. So there's a lot of stuff out there that I see in books brings into question. If Paul wasn't able to talk about it, I don't know. Okay. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we'll always be with the Lord. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be snatched. I didn't write this one out, but go to, it's easy to find. It's just before the maps and the concordance. Go to Revelation 12:5. And until I was doing my research, I always assumed this. Okay, 12:1 of Revelation. And a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon and the stars on her feet, and on her head were a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains, in agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns on its heads and 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, I always understood that to be a back look at the prophecy of first Israel. That's the woman, specifically Mary. And that she was to give birth to a child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lucifer's there to destroy the child. But the child is caught up to glory. In the research I was doing, it's interesting. A number of commentators said, you know, the direct reference definitely is to the Lord. But we're questioning whether this also includes his mystical body of the church. We are his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And the before the adversary can come and destroy, the church is going to be caught up. I haven't thought enough or prayed enough about it, but it's an interesting notion. It could be. It definitely references the Lord Jesus Christ, which is Acts 1, but it may extend to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. I just throw that in as a whatever. You can research and think that through for yourself. Okay, so it is at least 7 times it's demonstrated in Scripture. Okay, so we've explained why, if you do a word search, you won't find rapture. Okay? Because it's not from the Greek, it's from the Latin. And we've explained why that happened. We see it demonstrated at least 7 times in Scripture. Is the rapture illustrated in Scripture? John 14, 1-3. You may want to turn there. You all know where John is. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, 2 observations here, in my opinion. If you believe in the literal days of creation, God took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. But in his preparation of a place for you and I, it's coming on 2,000 years. So I got a couple of speculations there. 1, what he's preparing is pretty fantastic. 2, the scripture also teaches us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but his patience toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He hasn't returned yet, because there are souls yet to come to him. And he's preparing a place. Now, this makes far more sense to us to my understanding, this portion, that the P shouldn't be there. Is it in the bulletin? Okay, you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to go control P to print, and I didn't put the control button down far enough, and so it appeared as a P in the text. So just scratch the P out. To my understanding, this portion has a direct correlation to Jewish weddings. Okay? The groom pays the dowry. Christ's own blood purchases the bride, and then the groom goes to prepare a place for his bride. Usually is in the compound of his father's house. Okay? Now, if we understand the Jewish wedding, the correlations are deep and profound. There's not always a courtship. A lot of things in that culture were prearranged. Okay? And that goes all the way back to Abraham, where they didn't want him to take a wife from the local tribes. So Abraham sends his servant to call a bride forth for Isaac. How did you come to Christ? You weren't courted. The Holy Spirit brought you to him. Okay? And he looked at you and he said, that's the one. So he dies on the cross for you. He pays the dowry. Okay? Then he returns to his father's house and he's preparing a place for you. That's John 14, 1-3. Okay? And then the groom, after he's prepared a place for his bride, who is most frequently arranged by mom and dad, he prepares the place, and when it's ready, with, you know, there is no email, there is no texting, you know, there is no Pony Express. He would gather his entourage, and he would journey to where the bride is, and he would announce his coming with trumpets and shouting, and that's exactly what happens at the return of Christ. Okay, so the whole picture of the Jewish wedding is illustrative of what God's doing. Right now, you're a spouse to Jesus Christ. Technically, you're his. You know, and he doesn't believe in divorce, so there's no separation. Okay? And when he returns, he's going to snatch us away. He's going to catch us up. And we're going to look next week at the contrast between the second coming of Christ and the rapture. They are distinctly different events. We'll get into that next week. If you understand the whole picture of the Jewish wedding, you understand that you're a spouse to Christ. The legal transaction is done. The high court of heaven says you're his bride. You're sealed. You're adopted. You're brought into the family. And he's coming to receive you. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15:50 and 51. Now, we need to understand here, in my estimation, the rapture is absolutely necessary. Because regardless of your eschatology, that is the study of future events, and there's all kinds of different positions on that, you know. There's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. There's all kinds of different. I don't care where you fit in that. At the return of Christ, there will be believers on the earth who have not yet died. Hello? Okay. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Those that are alive and remain must of necessity be changed. And they're going to get caught up. And they're going to be changed. It has to happen. Regardless of what your end times understanding is, there will be believers on earth who are alive when he comes. And they've got to be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:50-51. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Okay? This is not a secret. This is something that wasn't revealed yet. It's now being revealed. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. Based on my cough, I could die any day. But if I don't, if I'm alive and remain when Christ returns, I've got to be changed. This mortal's got to put on immortality. Hello? It can't enter heaven. It's got to be changed. So the rapture has to happen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6:14. I didn't put that in the notes either. Is it? Okay. Apparently I didn't read the front cover. 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has the righteous with the lawless? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, how does that fit into what you're saying? Listen, if you go back to the Old Testament law, Jews weren't allowed to marry outside of their tribe because it would jeopardize the inheritance. They weren't to marry outside of Israel. If that's God's requirement, what makes you think that God, come as man, is going to take a bride who's not like him? But he's redeemed you. He's bought you. You're born again. Old things have passed away. You're a new creature. All things have become new. You are now eligible to be his bride. But there's only one thing holding me back. It's this fleshly tent. And it's got to be changed. Amen? By the way, Tuesday I felt better than I had in months. Wednesday, I woke up with this again. Getting really tired of it. But you know, here's the good news. When he changes me, I'm not going to have this. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know? And you won't need kidneys. This requires that on the return of Christ for his bride, those who are alive must be changed. I don't perceive the doctrine or the teaching of the rapture to be an optional thing. It's required. It has to happen. Because if you're not changed, and you're alive and remain when he comes, if you're not changed, you're stuck here. Hello? Okay? So for the next 2-3 weeks, two at least, possibly three, we're going to continue to explore the teaching of the rapture. Okay? So hopefully today, in this introduction, what we've done is we explain why when you go to a word search, you can't find the word rapture, because it's not out of the Greek. It's out of the Vulgate, the Latin, which is a translation of the Greek to Latin. And it's the Latin word raptorum. Okay? So that's where we get our word rapture. I've heard people say, you can't find it in the Old Testament. Yes, you do. Enoch and Elijah are clear examples, demonstrations of that teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ, Philip, Paul, the body of Christ in 1 Thessalonians, and possibly Revelation 12:5, but if it's not, it's still the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a snatching, there's a carrying away. Is it illustrated in Scripture? The whole idea of the Jewish wedding is one of the focal points, because you're the bride of Christ. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm not talking about marriage of a man and woman. I'm talking about Christ and the church. Okay? We're going to be one flesh. He can't be one flesh with me if I remain in this flesh. This earthly has to put on the heavenly. This mortal must put on immortality. It has to happen. And if I am alive and remain when he returns, this has to change. Amen? So we're going to look at the balance of that in the next couple of weeks. You want to close in song for us?